Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Thanks, everyone, and welcome again to the Executive Committee meeting. Just a few reminders to help us have an orderly meeting. Please be mindful, whether elected official, staff, or citizen, speak only when you're recognized to speak so that we can have an orderly meeting and one person speaking at a time. Focus your comments on city business. I ask that you deliver your comments in a respectful manner. Slanderous comments or aggression are not in order. When speaking, if you engage in slanderous commentary or behave in a way that is hostile, I will interrupt you.
No slander, no aggression. It's a whole new intro. I mean, everything she's saying is, well, it's slander's a weird one because, you know, who's going to be the decider about whether what's being said is true or not? The key element to slander is that it's false.
You guys are gods.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
not gods. I believe the line was not gods.
Not gods.
Yeah. Although that was Santa Rosa County,
this
but it's easy to misunderstand.
Don't report.
A lot of the same players in both situations,
yeah,
right? So the executive committee meeting for the Milton City Council was had, and Mayor Heather Lindsay, she had come up with a whole new script to introduce the meeting. Now I don't know. I didn't ask. I honestly didn't have the heart to ask whether she wrote the script or whether Scott Collins suggested the script. It was his first day in the chair, so to speak, his first full day on the job. But I thought it was weird. No slander, no aggression.
If a member of council thinks I should interrupt someone, you can state point of order and ask me as the chair to address the situation. As the chair, I will decide how to address the situation. From the podium, direct your comments to me as the chair.
All of these things are correct, by the way.
Neither council nor city staff will be recognized to debate anyone at the podium.
No.
Council and city staff will be recognized to give their reports in due course at each meeting. And at that time, they can address any comments made by the public.
So just sit there and wait. Don't engage in a back and forth, which is extraordinarily common at the Milton City Council. And then, just in case you didn't hear the first two warnings against no slander.
Just as the public is expected to avoid slander and hostility, every member of the government and Milton staff are expected to meet the same standard to maintain decorum.
And what will happen if somebody breaks the no slander rule?
Any elected official, staff member, or citizen unwilling or unable to maintain decorum after warning will be removed from the chamber for the duration of the meeting.
No.
Thank you for your attention to these reminders so that we can have a meeting that is focused on city business, that's professional, that we can all be proud of.
It's the stern Heather Lindsay show. Okay, so how did it go? Well, as I mentioned, first day with Scott Collins.
We have a new face in the room. I hope everyone has recognized Mr. Scott Collins has started with us. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Welcome.
Good to see you. We have a city manager. So thank you, Mr. Collins. Welcome.
Sure, thank you.
And there was much rejoicing. Yay! So was it all lollipops and, smiley faces? Well, I wouldn't say 100%. Bob Cole, former county commissioner, showed up to ask for a variance to accelerate the opening of the vivarium at the Butterfly. Let me just play the clip because I think his wife is in charge of Keep Santa Rosa Beautiful on the board. I forget one of these two, but they had wanted to get it open this weekend for an event.
Having met the benchmark set forth by all the engineers, I, on behalf of KSRB membership and the community, respectfully request that a motion be made to move this variance so we can open the vivarium.
Yeah, I think that was for the Butterfly House. I'm digging on memory here, but that was, I believe that was what that was, which both of these, KSRB and the Butterfly House, have been kind of, you know, simmering and sometimes overflowing hot button issues. Heather Lindsay Basically, you had one of the staff members came up to kind of talk. This is an open forum. So it's not an agenda item. So Bob asks for the variance. Staff comes up and kind of explains everything that's involved in this process and where we're at so that the council can understand kind of the subject matter. And then Heather Lindsay talks.
Mr. Milstead, I appreciate what you're saying, but the time to amend this agenda has passed.
I understand.
And it's not an action item. So if they want this added to the next agenda on Tuesday, I mean, but this should have been addressed. If you had addressed this with me in advance, we could have made sure this agenda got updated to include this.
Mayor.
I just had no idea. So I think this is a little bit awkward at this point since the public hasn't been noticed about this.
So what she's saying, in case you don't follow all the procedure here, she's saying that, look, if this was going to be an agenda item, it should have been on the agenda. If it was going to be added to the agenda, the time to add it to the agenda had already happened. This is in public forum, so there's no real way for the council to respond to the sudden request that, you know, it's too late. And if Mr. Milstead had come to her earlier and told her this is going to be involved, they could have done this ahead of time, right? So she's just kind of chastising him for sort of nudging in the direction of violating their process. And Jeff Snow wants to talk, and if Jeff Snow is trying to interrupt the mayor, you know there's going to be a little bit of friction.
Councilman Snow, I guess you have an interest in this especially. Why don't you speak?
What's that comment about?
Well, I mean, you were prepared for this item, it looks like.
No.
Okay.
I'm capable as a council member to decide if we need to add something or not. And this would not be the first time if this council decides to. So just because you're against the project doesn't
That's
mean...
That's not true, sir. No. I'm not against the project.
Okay. Well...
I'm sorry that you assumed that. My concern is transparency. And I had no idea there was a time constraint.
Well, I don't know either, so we're fixing to hear about it.
So what was the rule? Just in case we're unclear, what was the rule about the interactions? You recognize somebody to speak. You let them say their piece. Then you respond. You don't interrupt. You don't debate. You don't engage. You don't back and forth. What's happening in this moment? They're having a back and forth debate because she disagrees with the person who's speaking, which has been the repeated complaint about her, is a kind of hypocrisy that when she disagrees, she interrupts, and when she agrees, she lets them talk it out.
We had not received the engineer's review at the time that the agenda workshop meeting took place, so that was the reason it was not added to the agenda workshop meeting.
Well, we're right in the middle of persons to appear, so it sounds like this is a belated effort to change the agenda. And I appreciate former Commissioner Cole's advocacy, and it sounds like Councilman Snow wants to go ahead and amend the agenda now.
I didn't say that. I just said we're just trying to get some more information. You're always assuming what I'm thinking, okay?
It sounded like that's what you were interested in. Well, I apologize.
And whenever
Is
I
there
say,
more information,
excuse
Mr. Milstead?
Excuse me, no, we're
interrupting for now.
Okay. So, again... You know, if you're going to teach a kindergarten class how to behave, you do it by contrast, right? This is the don't do it this way kind of behavior out of Milton. Now, in the grand history and scheme of Milton dysfunction, this is probably like a one, you know, it's a one or a two, okay? This is nowhere near the 10 that we've seen in the past, but still, it's not the smooth running, rules following, recognize somebody to speak, let them finish, then you talk kind of meeting that she was hoping for.
Whether it's this item or any item, the council has a choice to whether this is a committee meeting, okay? So if we choose to add it, so be it. There's eight members up here to make that decision. And if they don't make it together, then you would decide that. But just to, you know, again, Mayor, like I said at the last meeting, you know, tone and how you respond to people that you don't agree with is just, you know, it's unprofessional.
There it is. It's unprofessional. So, you know, it's kind of funny because in the grand scheme of the whole meeting, that was the only real point of oddness, stress. Okay. And you know how it works. Like if you're in a hostile relationship with somebody else and you just repeatedly bicker, everything they say is like you see it the wrong way. And I'm not saying that Jeff Snow saw it the wrong way. I'm saying that, you know, you can't help it. Like, you're suspicious of everything they're saying. You remember the well, what do you mean by that? You know, like, that's how you react. But I will say this. There were portions of the meeting that I think you could really champion as having run well. And I have no idea if it had to do with Scott Collins being there. But at the end of all the voting, this is amazing.
They all voted, and it's unanimous. It's just not showing up.
Thank you so much, Molly. Okay, good job, folks. So you know what? Y'all voted unanimously on every single thing. Y'all got one big consent agenda next week. Nicely done.
You could have a 4-minute meeting next week. I mean, you know, on Tuesday when they have their regular meeting and vote on everything. Everything is consent agenda because everything passed unanimously, so that's kind of nice. And there was a neat moment, really, where one of these things that they had been arguing back and forth about quite a bit was whether you could opt in to having your home designated as a historic structure or not. Very vehement conflict over this because one of the boards, the Historic Preservation Board, wanted it. The other board, the Planning Board, didn't want it. So the boards were in disagreement with each other. The citizens were in disagreement. And because of a kind of a weird procedural thing, it had been dropped off of the agenda at the previous meeting because a tiebreaker vote that Heather Lindsay cast the tiebreaker when two other city council members weren't there and probably would have voted to advance it. So it's kind of a weird one procedurally. But they were going to bring it back, and you know the citizens were upset because they thought who were against it. They thought they had won, and you know you can still bring things back, no big deal. There was just a little bit of a procedural issue, and Heather Lindsay was saying it shouldn't have been on the agenda. And then you had this delightful moment. Remember Chief Tindall, Tony Tindall, the chief of police, who liked being in the hall as security and then was made the, you know, city administrator for a little while, and now he's back out in the hall.
Hey, Chief.
Hey, good evening. I like it better out here. So,
being in the hall.
And just to let y'all know that the council didn't have anything to do with putting this on the agenda. It's my fault.
Oh, look at that. The person responsible taking responsibility and blame.
I didn't understand clearly that y'all didn't want it to come to this one. And so, you know, it's my fault. I'm the one that put it on there.
No, sir, it's not. My fault. but thank you for being so gracious,
Chief.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's not anything that... that anybody put on the agenda to try and be sneaky or get it back on, or they didn't agree with the vote. That's not the way that staff makes decisions. But so just clear there, it apparently was an error that we put it on there, and we take responsibility for it. But you know, in our positions, we're living and learning.
And she took responsibility and said she should have done better in handling the agenda. And so honestly, that was a really sweet moment where it was adult functionality, you know, somebody taking responsibility. Of course, Chief would, because he's a really good guy. But, you know, saying it's my fault, blame me. I didn't do it right. I was short-term in the job, didn't know what I was doing a little bit, and I made a mistake, forgive me. And just trying to cool the temperatures and de-escalate. So that was actually a really nice moment, and I want to give credit where credit is due. I will say, I'm gonna feel bad about playing this clip, but I can't help myself. You know Sherry Chapman, anti-roundabout lady?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, everyone knows Sherry Chapman. Knows her by voice, okay? Always has a flair for misexpression, okay? This one just caught me by surprise. I thought it was so entertaining. She was just talking about this issue of the historic designation board. And here's the quote.
I was even more surprised when it was bunted to the next meeting because Mr.
Bunted? You mean punted to the next meeting? Because a punt is a kick in football on fourth down when you can't make your downs and you give the other team the ball. A bunt is a strategic play in baseball where you don't swing at the ball and you play it short into the infield in the hopes of advancing a runner. And maybe if you're speedy, you can get to first base safely. So whatever. No big deal. Just they caught me by surprise. I thought it was funny. 437-1620. So in the grand scheme of things, not so much drama. Have no fear. I don't think Milton's that easily cured. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, you know, Dave Ramsey recommends Frontier Motors. I recommend Frontier Motors. All the bumper stickers and license plates around town that you see recommend Frontier Motors. Staff here, lots of them, you know, have bought cars from Frontier Motors and love it. And you say, why? Well, their whole philosophy from beginning to end is serve the customer, make lifelong customers out of people who buy a good quality, almost new car, 1, 2, 3 years old with low miles and, you know, great condition, and then have them come back and back and back again, which is a pretty smart strategy if you're going to be in an area for a long time. And they have been here for a long time, and it works because people keep coming back again. I don't have any interest in going to any other car dealer when we need to get our next good quality, almost new vehicle. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Today at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is Scott Trout of Cordell and Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If it's discipline that you students need, I am the one who can provide it for you.
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and a little bit of weather in the area. If you get out and you're suddenly discovering that the roads are a little bit slick because you haven't seen that thing called rain in forever, that's what that is. That's what that is. It's when the sky cries, and then, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to stop, and sometimes your car can skid sideways if you take it too fast on a turn. So just be careful. A little bit of rain over the area, mostly out in the Gulf right now is where this system is at. But still, you know, it's been here, and it's going to sort of throughout the morning we're going to be having some of this. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The Biden administration is waiving federal laws to allow for some border wall construction in Texas in a policy reversal. The Department of Homeland Security announced that the administration is now waiving 26 federal laws for border wall construction in South Texas due to the high amount of illegal entry here in recent weeks.
Okay, I need to stop you right here, David.
Okay, go ahead.
The White House has not reversed policy because that's what the White House says. They have not reversed policy. They do not believe in border walls, and this is not a reversal of policy. It's true. They're using Trump-era funding to build the Trump border wall because they say they can't do anything else with that money and because there's a border crisis and they recognize the need to build physical barriers and obstacles in order to keep the border secure in the places where thousands and tens of thousands of people are coming across. But they do not believe in border walls and they are not building a border wall. So I wish you people in the media would stop saying that they have reversed policies when even Corinne Jean-Pierre says they have not reversed policies.
It looks like a wall, but it's not a wall.
That's right. Yes. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, but Biden says it's not a duck, it's not a duck.
Nope, no
so
ducks here.
You just you watch your rhetoric, young man, because you know people are counting on you to get the story right. And according to the White House, we all have this story wrong, even though every single news service last night on the evening news, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, everybody's reporting it as a major reversal. The White House says it's not, so we know it's not. Simple.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
And I need to do better.
Yeah, yeah. Please. Go on.
All right. The UAW is going to be making an announcement today on Facebook Live. It's regarding yet another possible strike expansion against the big three automakers. And an update on the saltwater intrusion over in Louisiana. Officials say the saltwater headed up the Mississippi River may not affect local drinking water supplies as they'd been fearing it could do. The Army Corps of Engineers updated that situation yesterday. The saltwater intrusion is now expected to reach intakes in the New Orleans area sometime in late November. And apparently a saltwater intrusion of this magnitude has not happened in over three decades now.
Wow. That's concerning stuff for sure. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3. The techs are cracking me up. Talking about Mayor Lindsay's new instructional to begin the meeting that, I mean, maybe it didn't work fully. Somebody says, I love waking up to Heather's rules, LOL. Somebody else says, Heather's rules of order won't last, will they? That was earlier in the segment, and then you heard the evidence of later. And again, it mostly ran smoothly, okay, mostly. Somebody else says she's got bunk cake on the brain. That's funny. I don't know. It just, y'all are great. We'll be back in just a few minutes. David Wayne's up next after Fox News.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's endorsing Ohio Republican Jim Jordan for House Speaker, calling him respected by all. Congressman Jordan on Fox before the Trump endorsement on social media.
Someone's got to be able to come forward, unite the Republicans around our message, around what we're doing for the American people.
Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise is the other declared candidate to replace Kevin McCarthy, voted out as Speaker on Tuesday. The Nobel Peace Prize is awarded to an imprisoned human rights activist in Iran.
Narges Mohammadi, for her fight against the oppression of women in Iran and her fight to promote human rights and freedom for all.
Narges Mohammadi, 51 years old, has been in and out of prison, most recently arrested last November for attending a memorial for somebody killed during violent protests. Her husband and two children live in Paris while she has continued her activism from prison. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 73 degrees. Partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Former area dentist Dr. Charles Stamatolis is out of jail again. He was released last Saturday after serving 9 months on a misdemeanor battery charge. He was convicted of inappropriately touching an employee and pleaded no contest on charges that he inappropriately touched several patients at his dental practice. Stamatolis now still faces a civil case relating to that matter, and he'll now await his next court appearance, which is for a felony perjury charge. He was accused of lying about why he violated conditions of release from jail. He was granted a $15,000 bond in that case. He's due back in court October 30th. Well, two big-name hirings for Escambia County this week. They've hired a new head for their IT department.
I've garnered a great deal of experience over the years, and I'm excited to bring here to Escambia County, working with all the directors and all of the many esteemed people that I've met. It's just an exciting time for me. It's a challenge and a change, but we're going to transform the IT team to really transform what you do and meet your strategic objectives.
That is Russell Clark. He comes to Escambia County from Rutgers University, also worked at Princeton, has experience in banking. He'll be the chief information officer taking over the county's IT department. The county also announcing this week that they've hired Casey Lagarde. She'll be their new strategic communications director. City of Pensacola looking for $4 million towards what could be a transformative upgrade to the Fricker Neighborhood Center. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city already has $5.5 million through Hurricane Sally recovery grants, and they believe that $9.5 million would go a whole lot further.
The goal of doing something transformative there, and what we've always talked about at Fricker, was if we could find the funding that we have, that we make sure that what we rebuild isn't just to rebuild what's already there, but to rebuild something that the community needs.
And currently the city's seeking public comment on the Fricker Center. You can provide your input at the city's website until October 16th. One big issue for residents in Escambia County with health problems has been long wait times for ambulances. This is a problem for several years now, based on recent reports. It hasn't improved a lot.
We get low acuity calls where a layperson, you or I, would probably take a family member to an urgent care or maybe to our primary physician, where people don't, they just think, hey, I'm going to call 911. I'm going to get an ambulance here. And the mindset is if they go in an ambulance to the hospital, that they get priority treatment at the hospital, which means they go straight to the back or they get seen first. And that's not the case.
And that's Escambia County Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore. He tells News Radio that that mindset has led to many folks calling for an ambulance only to be taken to the hospital, re-triaged, and then have to wait in line at the ER. He says Escambia County gets roughly four times as many calls for EMS as many comparably sized counties. It is 5:34, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
30% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. Breezy conditions on Saturday as a cold front brings some cooler air into the area. 79 degrees for your high Saturday. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. For Sunday, high near 76, mostly sunny skies. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 55. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is partly cloudy, 73 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This year's WSRE Wine and Food Classic will pay tribute to the legendary chefs of PBS and celebrate rising stars like the final three from The Great American Recipe. Now's the time to get your tickets for a legendary dinner in the WSRE Amos Studio on October 14th and for the 33rd annual Walkabout Tasting on October 21st at the SCI Building in downtown Pensacola. Go to WSRE.org for tickets and event details.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
It's like 6 minutes long, right?
It's a pretty long.
It's pretty long,
yeah.
But it's such a great song.
Yeah, yeah.
This song would never get on the air today. Too long. Yeah, I was reading this article. This is a side note before we get to Eric Gilmore.
They have edits. Yeah, they used to play edits.
Right, but there's this whole way of gaming song length now because as an artist, you get paid by plays.
Right, that's right.
And so you get paid if they go 30 seconds in, and then you get paid if they start another song and finish this one or something like that. And so they're making songs like 2.5 minutes because they figure that's more likely to get you to listen through and listen to another song. And so just like music has always been an industry of making money, the style and length of songs is specifically designed now around the concept of how to make the most plays so you get the most streaming bucks. Isn't that amazing?
It's a weird thing to have to think about. Yeah, YouTube videos.
You'd never get American Pie these days. You'd never get, God, yeah. Roundabout. I mean, you know, all these long...
Right, Stairway to Heaven.
You know, Stairway,
sure.
Right. You know.
The songs we used to have to play if we had to go to the bathroom. No,
that's it.
100%.
538 on News Radio 92.3. Yesterday we had a chance to talk to Eric Gilmore. He's the Public Safety Director in Escambia County. Eric, welcome back to the show, sir. Get to Eric in just
good morning,
a
Andrew. There Thanks for having me.
Great to have you as always. For those who do not know, Director of Public Safety oversees things like Escambia County Fire Rescue, Emergency Medical Service, Emergency Response. Am I forgetting one? I feel like I'm forgetting one. 911 call center.
Emergency Management, 911, and Beach Lifeguard. Yes, sir.
And Beach Lifeguards. Very good. Exactly right. So I just figured we'd talk with Eric about some of these things because, you know, they're all always very interesting, the stuff that's going on in these ways. So first question for you is, let's talk about EMS, because that's been the problem child for a long time, you know, just trying to get it all work properly. From my point of view, you correct me if I'm wrong, but from my point of view, the biggest challenge that EMS has had for the longest time is the wait times, having enough staff, enough ambulances, enough opportunity to get patients out of the ambulance and into the hospital and then leave with the ambulance to go pick up somebody else. That's been the challenge. And when I look at the reports, I had thought post-COVID, new hires, more ambulances, we'd really start to see some changes. And unless I'm wrong, I still don't see big difference in the wait times alleviating.
No, no, you don't. And the reason is because we're still staffing off a 2010 staffing model, where our call load was not as high as it is now. We have an abnormally high call load compared to EMS systems our size. Usually some of the EMS systems our size and to the east of us, they're running, you know, 15,000, 20,000 calls a year. We're running around, you know, 66,000 calls a year. So we have
Is that like Santa Rosa is 15,000 a year?
15,000 a year for Santa Rosa County, yes, sir. 16,000 a year.
And we
yes,
run 60, and the population of Santa Rosa is a little more than two-thirds. So we're running four times as many for maybe 60% more people?
That's correct.
That's what?
Yes. Well, I mean, when you consider some of the calls that we get, I mean, we get low acuity calls where a layperson, you or I, would probably take a family member to an urgent care or maybe to our primary physician, where people they just think, hey, I'm going to call 911. I'm going to get an ambulance here. And the mindset is if they go in an ambulance to the hospital, that they get priority treatment at the hospital, which means they go straight to the back or they get seen first. And that's not the case. You'll get re-triaged by the medical staff at the hospital, then you might be put in the waiting room. We've had that multiple times where you get re-triaged and put out in the waiting room. So there's a myth out there that you go by ambulance, you get priority treatment and triage.
Like people are deliberately calling 911 because they think it'll get them to the front of the line at the hospital.
That is correct.
Oh,
and the calls we're getting are sick calls, okay? I've had a headache for 2 days. I've been vomiting for 2 days. I fell down 3 days ago, and now I need to go to the hospital and get checked out. I got hit in the eye by something 2 days ago. These are things that just not necessarily an ambulance is needed. If you've got a primary care physician, or there's plenty of urgent cares in our county, but people think that they just need to take an ambulance ride.
So the 60,000, you know, having four times for 60% more people, that's a problem. Or not even 60%, I think it's a little bit less. Anyway, but, you know, having that much more for not that much more, that's a problem. But then you have things like, you know, the hospital is short-staffed, and so the paramedics have to wait there, you know, hold the wall, you guys call it, I know. Being short on trucks and people because the staffing model is outdated, as you say. But aren't we, I mean, I know the answer, so I'm asking this a little bit facetiously, but at least if people are paying the bill, it wouldn't be such a problem because it's a pay for service, right? But they're not paying their bills, right?
That is correct. Yeah, and you just hit the nail on the head. It is a fee for service, which means EMS is not funded by tax dollars. We don't get anything from general revenue. When you call, when we collect that bill, we collect that, you know, that fee for your service that you asked for, that's how EMS is totally funded in Escambia County. So we have to generate our money to be able to pay our staff, to be able to put equipment on the trucks, to be able to, which we did, we asked for more staffing this budget cycle. So EMS has to be able to fund those additional EMTs and paramedics to get our staffing levels up. So, you know, EMS has worked very hard. It's not, when we took over, we knew it wasn't going to be a quick fix. We all knew this. I mean,
yeah.
It takes a little while to grow the organization, to make sure that we have the right resources out there and to make sure we can generate money so we can pay for our staff and add additional staff to our staffing levels.
Is it accurate to say that as a population that the people who are abusing the EMS system for non-emergency calls or for whatever other reason, that those are also the same people who aren't paying their bills? I mean, am I in the right vicinity in understanding this?
You are quasi. I wouldn't say everybody. I wouldn't say it's
100%. Sure, sure. I know. I mean, generally speaking.
But I mean, generally speaking, it's a good percentage. Yes, sir. That okay. are not paying their bills. As we talked about when we did the bad debt write off, we found out that 60 or 70% was the non-payers, people who didn't have insurance, and then those people who did have insurance but didn't meet their deductible just hadn't been paying their bills.
I'm assuming that we're not the only place that has to deal with this, so I'm wondering if we can't learn some lessons from other, counties that are maybe similarly situated to us. But is that a fruitful path to go down?
It is a fruitful path. So we can always learn from other agencies and organizations. We have reached out to other entities that are comparable to us that are not a fire-based EMS, that are just a third-party provider like a county-based system. And we've talked to those guys and said, hey, and Allison Rogers has helped us out, especially after this last discussion with bad debt write-off. So we're trying to get, you know, what is it? What does everybody else look like out there? Are we bad? Or what are they doing something different than what we're doing?
Right.
Are they collecting fees or collecting those, getting that money easier than what we are? And we found out that right now, as it stands, everybody's in either as worse shape as we are or worse with their write-off. So we're comparable to everybody with a EMS, a county-based EMS system. But we've got some plans in place. I mean, we're working with our billing department to try to steer people toward insurance. If they didn't know about it, how can they get signed up for Medicaid and Medicare?
Yeah.
Chandra Smiley, I had a conversation with her. She kind of let me in on what she's seeing as far as how she's trying to get people signed up for these services. And, you know, unfortunately, Medicaid and Medicare is wanting to drop, and they're really scrutinizing people from getting on their services that they want to make sure that you really need it. So and every, you know, all the insurances in the state of Florida are really scrutinizing everybody right now. So it's a little harder than what you think. It's not as easy as just signing up, saying, I got it. You got to meet certain needs, certain definitions, and people, and you got to show your income levels. And people are not very forthcoming in showing how much they earn. So there are things that people have, you know, hoops people have to jump through to get those services didn't necessarily aren't willing to do that. So, but we are working on some things to try to get it out there and try to get coverage and make sure that everybody who's using our system and not paying, that we try to steer them in the right direction.
I'm going to rephrase you just a little bit. The insurance companies are really scrutinizing people these days. I'll put it that way. A little twist on the phrase for me. Hey, one of the other things, and just because, I mean, you and I could talk for an hour because there's so much stuff. And just this is one of those, like, you can just say agreed or whatever, but what people may not realize is that all of these surplus unnecessary calls to EMS also create a problem, because if there's no ambulance available, you'll dispatch a fire crew, sometimes a fire truck, and now you got an engine showing up to somebody that's feeling chest pains, which is fine. Okay, we got to take care of people, but the cost to wear and tear and all of dispatching a fire engine to a paramedic call is even that much greater, but they have to treat it the same way, and then they're not available to fight a fire if one comes up. So just this kind of the cascade of things being out of balance is a big deal. Agreed, Eric?
I agree. It is a ripple effect. You're absolutely right. So you delay other things, other services,
Right. But the one thing I just wanted to ask you real quick before, God, we always run out of time with you. I know Commissioner Bergosh has talked quite a bit about trying to enhance lifeguard protection out at Perdido Key next year. I think he's either bought or working on buying a couple of lifeguards towers. And, you know, I guess you're probably going to have to buy some ATVs and things like that. But I don't get the perception that there are just a big number of potential lifeguards waiting to come to work. Like, you know, Dave Greenwood seems to always be scrambling every year to make sure to get enough to staff. And you got all the issues with age limited, time constraint limited. They're not in school, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, are we going to be able to find lifeguards to hire for Perdido Key to actually staff? I mean, I love the idea of it, but are the people available?
Good question. So there's several things in the works right now. We will do a drive for, you know, of course, lifeguards like we do every year. And we do barely get enough to cover what we're supposed to cover right now. Now, having said that real quick, the Gulf Islands National Seashore, we're in discussion right now to whether they either want to renew the contract that we put lifeguards out there at Johnson's Beach in those areas. If they don't want to renew the contract, and it's up to them totally to put lifeguards out there, then that will be my surplus of lifeguards. So I will have lifeguards if we don't go through with the Gulf Islands National Seashore and they don't want to put lifeguards out there. So I'll have manpower and bodies for that.
And
if they do come back to me in November, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and assuming they don't try to create their own lifeguard system in-house or something like that, which means they'd be drawn on that same population.
That is correct. But my understanding is if they don't do the program, they won't do the program. So they won't be taking our manpower. So that is, you know, that. So if they drop it, they're going to drop it altogether, because there's no requirement for them to have lifeguards out there. It's always been something they've always done just for enhanced safety. And I agree, enhanced safety needs to be out there. We always want enhanced safety, but we'll do a big push. And, you know, it's not going to be an absorbent amount of lifeguards out there at Perdido Key. If Gulf Island still wants the lifeguards and we still get enough for Pensacola Beach, it's not going to be like one in every access. It'll be a roving patrol. It'll be something that's going to be mobile, but it's not going to be as scaled up as what we see in Pensacola Beach, and unless we just get a surplus of people. But we will have something out there that's going to cover that area.
Okay. And also, and I know this is an uncharitable rephrase, but our solution is to shift the unsafe beaches of Perdido over to the unsafe beaches of Fort Pickens. I mean, you know, that's not a great answer, but I get the reality you're dealing with, and if Gulf Islands decides to, you know, that's not your call to make, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, like I said, we could talk to you forever. There's all kinds of stuff. We didn't get to, like, the CORE program having its success to get people off of opioids. I love that. And, you know, the recent big success with the Baptist move, kudos to your staff and all the planning that went into that, and to Chief Torsell, who's done this before. I know he was key to that. But anyway, Eric Gilmore, he's the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County. As always, Eric, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
You know what I always hate about talking to Eric on the radio is we go twice as fast as when I talk to anybody else, and I still always feel like we left 90% of what I want to talk about undone.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Just, God, I love talking to Eric too. Yeah.
He's
very informative.
Yeah. No, he's fabulous. And he's now the Director of Public Safety. He had started off as like a volunteer firefighter and he still does that, I think. And also, you know, he's like the emergency manager was for a while. And then anyway, I remember when John Dosh left.
Right.
And Eric took over
that
job, and we're all thinking like, well, who can possibly replace John Dosh? And then we're like, well, Eric Gilmore, and now he's Director of Public Safety. So anyway, just amazing guy. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want good advice from somebody who understands what the market is doing right now, what it's likely to do in the future, so that you make a good decision and, you know, can really help you figure out what's the best price you can get for that home and, you know, or what's the best price you can buy that home for and how do you bid effectively and win those bids if it's a competitive environment, just kind of all of the things. Well, Christina Leavenworth sold 230 homes last year. 230 homes last year. I think it was like 233 actually, but you know, I round down. And that means she knows what she's doing. Five a week. I mean, in a given week, she's closing five homes. That's ridiculous. Okay, that is just ridiculous. But she's incredibly effective at this, and you know, people love her, rave about her, love the attention that they get, feel like they're her only client. You know, it's not true, but you feel that way because somehow she manages to make that happen. And you know, she's surrounded herself with some good folks who are like her, like-minded, like-hearted, same attitude of service and excellence. And I'm just saying, you know, just be sure you include her on your list. Maybe you've got a friend, or maybe you got a relative, or someone you feel like you're obligated to, talk to them. Maybe it's awkward because you're not sure you want to go with them. I mean, do what you want to do. I'm just saying, make sure you talk to Christina before you make any decision about who to be your realtor. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you could start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, Monday morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Monday morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Keep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson
goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep down field! Caught! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. First City Art Center's 17th annual Pumpkin Patch is Friday and Saturday at the FCAC campus. Choose a hand-blown glass and handcrafted pumpkin and support local artists. See firstcityart.org for more. Soaring excitement and thrilling musicality come together for opening night of the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra's 98th season, Saturday night at the Sanger Theater. See PensacolaSanger.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Quiggins. If you've got fall gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Presented by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, Barnes Feed Store, and Lucky's Pine Straw.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There is nothing I can do about it unless you want me to infringe on their civil liberties, which I will be glad to do if you'll just trim a little fat off the Constitution.
I know a lot of times I dig deep on these cuts because I just think they're great quotes, even if they're not like the iconic movie quote. But did you recognize that one, Candy?
No.
G.I. Jane.
Oh, I haven't seen G.I. Jane.
When the
I
evil
the
senator,
helicopter in the back.
Yeah, when the evil senator is trying to get the colonel, general, whoever's overseeing the training program to, like, you know, get rid of her, basically. So, anyway.
Oh,
or,
no,
to get rid of the press. To get rid of the press, that's right. Mm-hmm. 555 on News Radio. Just trim a little fat off that Constitution. What a great phrase. 555 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Imprisoned Iranian human rights activist Narges Mohammadi is the winner of the 2023 Nobel Peace Prize. The committee announced that she's being recognized for the fight against the oppression of women in Iran and her fight to promote human rights and freedom for all. Former President Trump's lawyers say they plan to file a motion for a stay in that civil fraud case in New York today. That came out during the yesterday's trial. And apparently Crocs and cowboy boots are coming together. The footwear company that makes Crocs said yesterday that they've got a new foam clog that resembles a cowboy boot in some way, complete with spurs. I'm trying to get a picture of this in my head. A foam croc that looks like looks like a cowboy boot.
Knee height.
I've got it pulled out, and it looks they look like cowboy boots with a. I'm hoping it's a rubber spur. I guess. But
I'm guessing you still go sockless though.
For cowboy? Oh, for Crocs? Yeah, I don't know.
Does it have air holes?
Yes, it has air holes on the bottom.
So it's got room for those embellishments. You can buy the little stuff that you put on
those little pins. Yeah,
all right. I'm still not in.
It
okay.
Seems a little odd.
It does,
but
who are you to say no to fashion, David?
That's true.
God,
I am the least fashion conscious, even in this room.
By the way, you earlier played the clip from Russell Clark, the new IT director at Escambia County. You played the clip of him at the county commission meeting yesterday, being introduced as the new IT director. You missed the best part of that. It was at the end of his comments.
It's just an exciting time for me. It's a challenge and a change, but we're going to transform the IT team to really transform what you do and meet your strategic objectives. Thank you.
Thank you and welcome.
Sure.
If I ever bring my phone down, don't touch it.
Lumen May, chairman. Wait for it.
No. That wasn't a joke. that was for real.
Y'all always good, Lumen. Y'all always good.
Yeah, well.
Too
great.
Soon, Jeff. Wow. Man. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 558 on News Radio 92.
Also, it's Croctober.
Don't touch it. Croctober. Those boots actually do look pretty cool. I mean,
they look
they're too cool
boots
for me to wear, so I'm not doing it.
Oh, same.
Hey, if you have a home improvement project you're working on, or you need some safety gear or some tools or whatever the case may be, or you build houses for a living, like anywhere on the scale, Pensacola Hardware. And, you know, one of the things to me, it's like, obviously, they have whatever you need. They've been doing it so long, they know exactly what you're going to need. If they don't stock it, it's because you don't need it. Like, you're wrong. I mean, there's a better thing to solve that problem, and they'll tell you what that is. But to me, it's the expertise. You know, a lot of times we go to a store, especially a hardware store, you know, you learn pretty quickly, like, you and YouTube know more than that person, right? And that's not going to happen at Pensacola Hardware. Like, you go ask them a question, they'll know. Or they'll be able to refer you to somebody who knows, because that's their life. They live and breathe it. They love it. And they've been helping people forever. There's this institutional knowledge thing at Pensacola Hardware that you just can't get anywhere else. Like I said, the oldest business in the state of Florida since 1851. And it's right here in Pensacola, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. Plus, by the way, wonderful place to buy gifts. There's a whole front houseware section that is, I can't describe it to you. It's amazing. We'll be back in just a minute. Stick around.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.